As we continue worshiping together this morning, hear these words taken from the letter to the Romans beginning in the 12th chapter. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. And now, friends, let us remain risen as we are able and attune our hearts to hear these words from the Gospel according to Matthew, beginning in the 16th chapter with the 13th verse. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Friends, as we prepare now for our choir, we invite our children in kindergarten through fifth grade to join Miss Whitney at the front of the sanctuary for children's worship in our fellowship hall.
I'm going to want to preach a whole different sermon now.
Go ahead.
As I was getting ready for this week, our focus, planned focus, was to think about identity, personal identity. And before we pray and begin a reflection on the scripture that we've heard today, I just wanted to say I've been mindful this week that earlier this week, our nation was remembering and celebrating Coming Out Day. And it felt resonant with the reflections in my own heart as I was thinking about the question of identity, who we are. And so I just wanted to say today from this place that wherever you are on that journey, no matter what it is that in you wants to come out, wherever you are along that trajectory, God loves you and we love you here at Foundry Church, and I give thanks to God for this sacred space in which we can proclaim that with joy and with conviction and with celebration. So, happy Coming Out Day, everybody. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we know that you are with us all along life's journey, in the ways that we need to be still and silent, in the times that we need to break into song and we need to be active. We know that you are with us, and we give you thanks that you are the strong rock upon which we stand, that you are with us in every movement and moment of our lives. May your word and your presence and your way be made known today, because of me or in spite of me, God. Move. Move. In us and among us. I pray it in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Who do people say that I am? Have you ever consciously asked yourself that question? Invite you to think about it for just a minute. Who do people say you are? And what do you suppose guides them in their perception of you? What do you use in perceiving who other people are? Who do people say that I am? It's a question of identity. It's a question of relationship. And the way that it gets answered makes a difference in our lives. One of the great needs of all humans is to be understood, to be accepted, to be loved, just exactly as and for whom we are. The great spiritual writer Henry Nouwen speaks of this need as the need to be fully received. Another way of saying to be unconditionally loved. Most of us spend our whole life searching for a person with whom we can risk sharing who we really are, trusting that we might finally be fully received. The journey toward that being fully received involves a maturing awareness of our own sense of who we are. Our own sense of our identity. In other words, part of our spiritual work, yours and mine, is to answer the question, who do I say that I am? If you desire deep and mutual relationship with anyone, you'll need to be able to offer yourself as a gift. Just as you will seek to receive the gift of the other person. If we are to give ourselves to one another in love, then we need to know the self we're giving. Otherwise, the relationship can get a little twisted, a little confused, and we might end up losing ourselves in the relationship instead of being found. I've observed that we often depend upon what others say about us to define our identity. To fulfill societal or religious or parental or professional expectations of who we are, we may focus on the outward appearances of our lives. Or we may try to make ourselves into something that we're not. Reasons for this are many. Among them, I believe, are fear of not being enough. Perhaps fear of disappointing others. Perhaps lack of trust of our own sense of self or our gifts. Or fear of ridicule or rejection. We may get so focused on others' real or imagined perceptions of us and their expectations of us that we forget that we are more than anyone else's perception or label or expectation. There is an I. That is you. And that I is who we at Foundry want to celebrate and to nurture and to share. We want to help you nurture the I that is you. Because you are God's beloved. As we continue in our I Am Foundry Voices in Harmony series, today's focus is on the I, your unique voice is important. It's encouraged. John Wesley's directions for singing, that's what we were reading earlier in the bulletin. If you were here last week, we turned in the red book. It's on Roman numeral number 7. If you weren't here last week, you can find it. There are these hilarious directions for singing that John Wesley wrote to help the people called Methodists learn how to sing together and to sing together faithfully and well. Today, we focused on the fourth. We did 3 of them last Sunday, and today we're looking at number 4. And in that direction, the first part of direction number 4 is sing lustily. Sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were as if you were half dead or half asleep. But lift up your voice with strength. This is a clear invitation to bring yourself fully, to add your voice to the voices of others without fear and with courage. It's like when you are in the midst of a crowd, just, you know, you let it rip. And you're being invited to do that when you come and sing together. The second part reads, be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of its being heard than when you sung the songs of Satan. Ah, Satan. I'm just going to say, I think what this is really about is really just a reminder to bring yourself as fully and freely into life with God and Christian community as you do in other places and communities. If you're at a big party with a great band and Jon Bon Jovi, you know, gets up there and you want to sing Shot Through the Heart and You're to Blame, right? Like you don't sing that like shot through the heart and you like let it rip, right? Like this, like bring it when you sing it. So if you're gonna do that in that context, Wesley is saying you can do that. Bring yourself, lift up your voice. Jon Bon Jovi, by the way, is not Satan. He does very good work for homeless people. And he's pretty. Just saying. Much of what we're working on at Foundry as we lean into our third century are ways to help each one of us to do what Wesley is talking about, to bring ourselves fully and freely into relationship with God and Christian community, to help you connect to your true identity as a unique, beloved child of God, to create opportunities for each one of us to connect with God and with one another in relationships of mutuality and of trust, and to remove obstacles to full engagement in servant leadership and in generosity. Foundry exists to care for each I. And it's also true that without each one of us, there would be no Foundry. Without I, there's no sing. Without you, that's it. Lift up your voice with strength, baby. Without each voice, there's not us. We don't make the harmony that is us. We're all called to sing. Every voice, every gift of service, kindness, every gift of money contributes to the song we're called to sing. I find it fascinating that Jesus asks his disciples this question, who do people say that I am? Jesus is aware, I imagine, of the ways that people label and pigeonhole according to their expectations, based on their wishes or their half-baked self-awareness or their prejudice or their preconceived notions. Jesus knows it's profoundly human to see only in part, to misunderstand and to misjudge. So he's curious, who do people say that I am? And we heard the responses in our reading, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, another prophet. And I wonder whether the disciples are being kind to Jesus by not mentioning the other things that people are probably saying about Jesus. You know, like they don't bring up the stuff they were probably saying, like, that dude is weird. You know, he's a troublemaker. He's just a magician. Slurs flying. They didn't bring that part up. But Jesus sort of doesn't really care anyway. He might be a little amused, but he just moves on, shifting the question to the disciples themselves. Yes, 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 that's what they say. But who do you say that I am? The writer Kathleen Norris talks about how sometimes our words are wiser than we are. That is, sometimes when we speak out of a place of deep intuition or spiritual prompting, the words come out of our mouths have a truth and a power that we don't even fully understand ourselves. In response to Jesus' question, Simon speaks with words that are wiser than he is. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And in that moment, we see that Simon, son of Jonah, has tapped into one of his gifts, a part of his truest identity. Simon, son of Jonah, has an openness to the wisdom and revelation of God. And Jesus sees that. And Simon, in that moment, sees through all the labels and the preconceived notions that had been heaped upon Jesus and goes right there, naming the deepest, truest identity of Jesus. And then Jesus does the same for him. Jesus gives Simon a new name, a true name, a revelation, an affirmation of his identity. He says, "You are Peter." Peter means rock. Peter means stone. Jesus names this disciple's strength, affirms his gift of openness to God's wisdom, and then proceeds to place some hefty authority and responsibility in the new Peter's hands. With gifts always come responsibility. You and I may yearn for a clear and direct word from Jesus telling us and affirming who we are. I imagine many of us would be at least curious to know if we can get as far as saying that there is a God. We'd be curious to know what that God, how that God sees us, what gifts God sees in us, what work God has for us, and whether our lives are today anything like the lives that God knows we might have if we were to live fully and freely into who we are. Some might get a little frustrated that Peter gets such unmitigated direction when we so often are unsure. But I would remind us that Simon didn't get his new name and divine direction while he was just standing around minding his own business. He had responded to the call of Jesus and had given his life to follow and learn and serve according to the way of Jesus. That is to say, if you find yourself wondering what name Jesus would give you, wondering how God sees you, what gifts God discerns in you, then maybe consider, how open are you to Christ? How close are you in relationship? How willing are you to metaphorically add your voice to God's song, to put yourself out there and try to follow even more closely the spiritual path of Christ? What we learn from Simon Peter today is that in the midst of living with Jesus, and for us that would mean things like serving and participating in faith community and spiritual practices, in the midst of living with Jesus. We begin to utter words wiser than we are. We may find ourselves connecting with our gifts. Something about journeying with this one who is truly and beautifully human helps us discover the beauty and the truth of our own humanity. As we come to know Jesus more deeply and personally, the mystery is that we come to know ourselves more deeply. Think about being in a mutual, loving, trusting relationship with another person. In that relationship, you are not diminished, but rather you discover even more of yourself. Being in close relationship with Christ, the one who loves you perfectly, you will come to know yourself most deeply and fully. I have this vision of Christ, that we gaze upon the light of Christ and that light shines back upon us, enlightening our own seeing. As I was speaking those words earlier this morning at the 9 o'clock service, it flashed across my brain. As I was saying it, I saw, and I'll admit it, it wasn't Jesus, I saw the face of Anthony, my husband. And I saw him looking at me. Not really, but a way that he looks at me sometimes. And it became clear to me, I was realized that part of what I'm trying to say here is that in a relationship like that, someone, he looks at me, and the way he's looking at me shows me myself in a way that I couldn't see me if he weren't gazing back and mirroring to me what he sees. That's what I'm trying to say. We look upon Christ, and Christ looks upon us, and we see ourselves. So as Jesus looks at you, who is revealed? Who does God say that you are? The answer may very well be different from who others say that you are. It might be different from who you often say that you are. Because we tell ourselves all sorts of lies. If you look into the mirror and you only see brokenness or past mistakes, if you see a person who has no purpose or direction, if you see a person who is too weak or ill to matter, if you see a person who doesn't need any help, if you only see a disappointment, if you only see the labels or messages or slurs that others have placed upon you, if you see a person who believes that the abuse is deserved, if you see a person who has no gift to offer or who is God's gift to the world, then I will be bold to say you're not seeing as God sees. Christ sees our brokenness and our pain. God knows where we need help and we're not all that. Christ also sees us full, whole, put together, integrated, and free to live and to lift up our voice as who we truly are with courage and with confidence. Christ sees beyond all the labels and the masks and the roles we play and knows who we truly are. Christ is the one who loves us perfectly, sees us wholly, the one in whom we are fully received, fully known, loved beyond measure. Who do you suppose Christ sees in you? Who does God say that you are? I don't know the answer for you, but as you journey with Christ, I believe you'll find that you have always known deep in your center. The trick is clearing away all the layers and labels and expectations and depression and fear to be able to see and listen to that voice of Christ within. This is the most important work we're given to do. It's important because God created us to be who we are. And who we truly are is meant to be a gift to others. We have been given gifts, and with gifts come responsibility to use and share those gifts. God needs you to be who you are. The world needs you to be who you are. Foundry needs you to be who you are. To hear Christ calling your name and to live from that place of deepest truth will not always be easy, but there is a peace and freedom that comes from knowing the one who calls you and from trusting that in Christ you are ever and always fully received. So sing lustily and with good courage, and be no more afraid. Amen.